Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. A European country has a financial crisis, and all of a sudden the whole continent may go down with it. It's scary, but come on, it's so 4 years ago. It's the economic equivalent of somebody going on about how great The Wire is. We'll ask who caused this rerun, plus professional pickpocket Apollo Robbins tells us how he cons people, and Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl, tells us what it's like to work with the young, vibrant people of NPR.
Jurassic Park, here we come.
We'll ask who's really making the old new again on our show right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has started a media campaign on gun control. He told NBC's Meet the Press he is urging people to contact lawmakers and ask them to support new gun regulations, such as background checks.
If I can do that by spending some money and taking the NRA from being the only voice to being one of the voices so the public can really understand the issues, then I think my money would be well spent, and I think I have an obligation to do that.
He's spending $12 million on the ad campaign. But NRA President Wayne LaPierre says Bloomberg is wasting his money and harming gun owners. He says background checks to deter criminals or the mentally ill are a waste of time.
The mental health records are not in the system, and they don't prosecute any of the criminals that they catch. It's a speed bump for the law abiding. It slows down the law abiding and does nothing to anybody else.
LaPierre also spoke on NBC's Meet the Press. People are still lining up at the U.S. Supreme Court in hopes of getting a seat inside for arguments over same-sex marriage. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports the line began forming Thursday afternoon.
The early forming line means that for those who stick it out, they will be spending 5 nights on the cold pavement outside the court. That's apparently a discomfort worth suffering for the chance to hear those historic arguments in person, though same-day audio will be posted on the Supreme Court's website. On Tuesday, the court will hear a challenge to California's ban on same-sex marriage, and on Wednesday, the justices will hear a challenge to the Federal Defense of Marriage Law, known as DOMA. It bars federal recognition and federal benefits for same-sex couples who are married in states where such unions are legal. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
The president of Cyprus is in Brussels today selling a revised bailout plan to EU and IMF leaders to save his tiny Mediterranean island from bankruptcy. Joanna Kakissis reports from the island's capital, Nicosia. Turkey is threatening Cyprus for offering offshore natural gas reserves as collateral.
Turkey invaded Cyprus in 1974 and continues to occupy the northern third of the island. Turkish leaders say natural gas reserves also belong to the Turkish Cypriots. The gas was recently discovered off the southern coast of Cyprus and could bring in billions in revenues. Cyprus wants to include the gas in an investment fund that can be used to issue bonds. It's part of a new rescue plan that also includes a restructuring of the country's two main banks. Cyprus may also have to tax deposits of more than $130,000 by as high as 25%. The Eurozone and Cypriot lawmakers must sign off on a new deal before the country can receive any loans. For NPR News, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Nicosia.
Secretary of State John Kerry paid an unannounced visit to Iraq today. He met with Iraqi leaders for what he called spirited discussions. You're listening to NPR. St. Peter's Square in Rome was packed today with tens of thousands of people waving palm fronds as Pope Francis celebrated his first Palm Sunday Mass as pontiff. NPR's Silvio Poggioli reports the Pope focused on joy and youth in a ceremony commemorating Jesus' entry into Jerusalem.
Pope Francis delighted the faithful, pilgrims, and tourists as he circulated among the crowd in his open vehicle at the end of the ceremony. Ever since his election, he has focused on the downtrodden and the poor, and again, he encouraged people to be humble. Francis also had warm words for young people.
E ci dite che dobbiamo vivere la fede con un cuore giovane.
Young people tell us to live with the faith, with a young heart, always, he said, a young heart even at 7 or 70 years of age. Several times in his homily, the Pope broke from his prepared text, at one point recalling how his grandmother used to say, burial shrouds don't have pockets, meaning you can't take it with you. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
British police say they've scoured the property of late Russian financier Boris Berezovsky. They did not find any hazardous substances. Berezovsky died yesterday at his home in England. Police say his death is unexplained. Berezovsky had also survived other assassination attempts. Bodybuilder and promoter Joe Weider has died at his home in Los Angeles. He was 93. Weider helped popularize the sport and introduced young bodybuilders to the world, including Arnold Schwarzenegger. Weider says he was a skinny kid himself who turned to bodybuilding. He went on to promote it through publications such as Muscle and Fitness and Shape magazine. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Esurance, an Allstate company, born online and offering tools and resources for drivers to make decisions about their car insurance at esurance.com.
Nashville International Airport connects Middle Tennessee travelers to the world. BNA seeks to learn about the places travelers need to go and improve air service options to take them there. In fact, Nashville International Airport has new nonstop flights to Boston, New York City, Los Angeles, and Cleveland. More information is at flynashville.com, including opportunities for airport-related updates and traveler comments. flynashville.com.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary newsman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, everybody. We got a fun show for you today. We got professional pickpocket Apollo Robbins. He will join us a little later on. You may be skeptical, but I promise he will steal your hearts, leaving a large hole in your chest. It's charming, but gross. You might be wondering where Carl is this week. We're lucky to have Bill, but still, Carl is off receiving an award. He has been named North Carolinian of the Year by the North Carolina Press Association.
Wow.
And that is so great for him, not only because of his long career, but because he's actually from New Jersey. And faking that Southern charm for these many decades really worked out for him.
It got him the girls.
It did.
Yeah.
We still have his voice waiting for you. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi there.
Hey, who's this?
My name is Brad.
Hey, Brad, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Dakota, but don't hold it against me. I'm actually from San Francisco.
It's all right. I like saying South Dakota. I've been there.
Bless your heart.
It's nice.
Are you on the lam or something?
I should be on the lam.
No, but how did you go from San Francisco to South Dakota?
My husband actually has family out here, and there was an illness in the family, and that brought us out here for a while, and then we ended up having an extended stay, so we've been here about a year, and we're hoping to get back to California soon, please God.
Well, welcome to the show. Let me... Welcome to this respite from your living hell. Let me introduce you to our panel this week, Brad. First up, a humorist and blogger for CarTalk.com who will be hosting Spellcheck, a spelling bee for grown-ups at the Latches Theater in Brattleboro, Vermont on April 6th. Mr. Tom Baudet is here.
Hello, Brad.
Next, it's the woman behind the advice column Ask Amy and author of the memoir The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Brad.
Finally, it's the man behind Esquire's politics blog and a contributor to Grantland, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Brad.
Brad, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle, is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. You will win our prize. Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Yes.
Your first quote comes from NPR's own Stephen Inskeep.
What?
That was young Mr. Inskeep reacting to the news that what tiny island nation might destroy the European economy?
Cyprus.
Yes, indeed, Cyprus. Very good.
Oh.
So you got it right. Cyprus, the small island off the coast of Greece, sold itself as sort of the Cayman Islands of Europe. It's a tax haven for Russian, quote, oligarchs, which is Russian for waste disposal consultant. And what did the Cypriot banks do with the money, all this Russian billions of dollars that they took in? They decided to invest it in Greece.
Oh, that's right.
Let's give it to
Buy
Greece.
Buy low, sell high.
That's right. Let's give the Russian mobsters billions of dollars to Greece because it takes too long to actually flush $30 billion down a toilet.
But wait, what? Aren't you supposed to, like, not mess with mobsters' money?
That's potentially a problem for them. Okay. So they're deep in debt. They need to pay off their debt, right? And they come up with this great idea. Just take a chunk out of everybody's bank deposits, like 7-10% off the top, including the Russian mobsters. Here's the thing. The Russian mobsters, they don't know how to threaten an entire European country. It's Europe. It's different. They tried putting a horse head in somebody's bed. It just ended up being IKEA meatballs. You know, it's like...
Oh. Can't we spare them some Kardashians?
It's not a unit of currency yet.
It's not?
I'm not using them.
Can I get change for a Kim? Oh, God.
If you break a Kardashian, what do you get?
You get two Lohans.
There you are. Your next quote, Brad, is from the head of a political party talking about the one thing, the one little thing that went wrong in last year's election.
Our message was weak. Our ground game was insufficient. We weren't inclusive. We were behind in both data and digital, and our primary and debate process needed improvement.
So if they can just fix that, who will be fine?
The Republicans will be
fine. Yes, yes. That was Rance. No, I'm sorry.
Rance!
That was Rance Priebus, or is
Priebus.
It... Anyway, no, he is the head of the Republican National Committee, which released its own, quote, autopsy on the last presidential campaign, which involved both talking to hundreds of voters and strategists around the country and also cutting open the body of Mitt Romney. Turns out there's nothing in there but a couple of rusted gears and a lot of cream of wheat. So they just sewed him up, apologized, and he went on his way. The report said the Republicans were perceived as being increasingly old, white, and out of touch.
Speaking of someone who's old, white, and out of touch, I object to that thoroughly.
So, you know, they say they need to hire a Latino to do outreach to the Latino community, which is exactly what Republicans always do when they've got a job they can't handle themselves. They hire a Mexican guy. So the Republican Party wants to appeal to the youth. Maybe they need to rebrand themselves in a more youth-friendly way. We have some ideas.
The Biebertarian Party.
Or
Forever 61.
Or maybe
the Republican Party. It's finger Republican good.
All right, Brad, here is your last quote.
Jurassic Park, here we come.
That was London's Guardian newspaper celebrating a new scientific project that wants to do what?
Wants to... Gosh.
Well, I'll give you a hint. The quote itself is a hint, because what did they do in Jurassic Park?
Exactly. It's that...
Have you not seen Jurassic Park?
You know, I'm a little embarrassed to say, especially since I'm an actor. No, I have not.
But
extinct animals to life by cooking the DNA.
Exactly right. Yes, they brought extinct animals back to life. That's what they want to do. Scientists are excited because advances in DNA technology may make it possible to revive extinct species like the dodo, the great auk, the GOP. And before you ask, no, they can't do dinosaurs because the DNA from dinosaurs is too old, it's degraded. It's going to be things like the passenger pigeon, the Pyrenean ibex, a kind of antelope that just went extinct in 2000. So instead of Jurassic Park, it will be more like, welcome to 15 years ago park. and as the music swells, a pigeon flies by.
Chased by a spotted owl.
Exactly. Right. The list of 24 animals they want to revive has some cool ones like the mammoth, the saber-toothed tiger, but mostly it's just birds, including a variety of large flightless birds that used to live on islands until people showed up and ate them. They didn't know because they were there were no predators to run away from the hungry-looking people.
Here's what bothers me about this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the scientists haven't seen Jurassic Park. Because you remember the movie? It's like...
The passenger pigeon is not going to eat you.
Saber-toothed tigers?
Right, yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, you know what's going to happen? They're going to bring back the dodo, and they're going to bring back the saber-toothed tiger and put them in the same room. Like, oh no! We should have anticipated that.
You know that, they're just going to mix it up and you're going to wind up with a saber-toothed passenger pigeon.
That'll be
hard to fly.
That will have a fighting chance, though. Bill, how did Brad do in our quiz?
Brad was perfect. He got them all right.
Well done, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you for playing, Brad. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Thanks.
We want to remind everyone to join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium. And don't miss our May 2nd Cinecast event, where you can see Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me live at your local movie theater. We've got Paula Poundstone, Mo Rocca, Tom Baudet, and America's sweetheart, Mr. Carl Castle. Tickets are going fast. For information, go to WBEZ.org, and you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Amy, the clothing company Lululemon took a big hit to its stock price this week. They're having a real crisis after a problem with one of its leading products, its yoga pants. What was wrong with them?
Sadly, I know this.
Uh-oh.
They're a bit too transparent.
Yes, the question, Amy, is how did you find out they
were?
Well,
the hard way.
I understand.
almost ceaseless applause at yoga class.
They were see-through. They were see-through pants. Lululemon is recalling the pants, but for the brief period the see-through pants were out there, Lululemon stock fell 6% and interest in yoga grew 8,000,000%.
Yeah.
Now, you might ask, how does a big professional clothing company like this send out yoga pants without knowing they're transparent? Because, and this is true, they did their quality checks, they tried on the pants at the factory, okay, they're fine, they sent them out, but they didn't do the, quote, bend over test. Because it's not until you bend over wearing the pants that their transparency becomes apparent. Fortunately, in yoga class, you hardly ever bend over.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm happy to say I take a men's women's yoga class once a week.
Yeah.
When all the women bend over, so do you. And you can't see anything but your own feet.
If you're good at it.
And if you try to look up, take my word for this, you can hurt your neck.
And how many times, Tom?
That's not an approved posture.
I see the moon, the moon sees me. Down through the leaves of the old oak tree.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. RDO, a digital music service allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere. RDIO.com. Esurance, an Allstate company offering Coverage Counselor, an online tool that provides car insurance options based on users' needs at esurance.com. And Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years and offering audio courses in 50 languages for download. Available at pimsleur.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
from NPR and WBEZ Chicago. This is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Charlie Pierce, and Tom Beaudet. Here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you all. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. I'm excited to call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our games on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Kat from Pearland, Texas.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, I'm so excited.
I know. You sound excited. It's nice. No, it's nice to talk to the excited people in life. That's great. And where are you calling from, Kat?
Pearland, Texas.
Pearland, Texas?
Mm-hmm.
And whereabouts is that?
It's right below Houston.
Right below Houston. Sort of in like 3 or 4 levels below ground?
Somewhat.
Yeah. Near Houston. And what do you do there?
I'm a teacher.
You are? What do you teach?
I teach chemistry and math.
To whom?
To whoever's willing.
I understand. I meant what grade, actually?
Oh, high school.
High school. You're a high school math and science teacher. That is tough work. You were doing God's work, and I appreciate it.
Well, you're... Thank you.
Well, welcome to the show, Kat. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. What is the topic, Bill?
I sentence you to 6 months of... Huh?
For certain offenders, 6 months of community service or a short stint in jail just doesn't seem fitting. Our panelists are going to read you 3 stories of justice being served in creative ways. Sadly, I guess, only one of them is true. Guess the real one, you'll win Carl's voice on your home voicemail. You ready to play?
Oh, yes. First, my kids and I are right here. We're ready.
Oh, wait a minute. You've got kids there with you?
Yes, we listen to it on Saturdays going for donuts and coffee. That's when we listen to y'all.
Okay, so we got the whole family there. Could you hold up the phone and have them yell hello?
Okay. Hello!
Hey, guys!
They're just like their mom!
That's awesome. Everybody's
excited.
All right, here we go. Let's hear first from Charlie Pierce, a story of fitting punishment.
Last month, Monmouth High, New Jersey, high school senior Frederick West celebrated the end of the basketball season by getting roaring drunk at a breakup party held at a teammate's house. Late that night, West was walking home when he wandered into a colonial-era cemetery and proceeded to throw rolling shoulder blocks on several of the old tombstones that stood there. He had just knocked over the fourth one of them when 2 Princeton police officers caught him in the spotlight and arrested him. West was convicted of aggravated vandalism, a low-level felony, at his trial. Judge Mel Joyce told West that he didn't want to send the young man to the 6 months in jail that his offense ordinarily carried. Instead, he sentenced West to spend the months of April to October portraying the character of Revolutionary War heroine Molly Pitcher in the daily reenactments of the Battle of Monmouth that take place on the actual battlefield. West will have to dress as a colonial farmer's wife of the period, including billowy skirts and a discreetly scooped bodice. Moreover, West will have to dress at home, walk to work, and present himself to Joyce's clerk every morning for a kind of inspection. Every day you spend in a dress is a day you can think about the sacrilege you committed that night, Joyce told West. He also said that he would personally arrange for a group tour for West's teammates on the park's opening day in April.
Sentenced to play Molly Pitcher at the Monmouth battlefield. Your next story of the gentle hand of justice comes from Amy Dickinson.
Gabby Watkins really wanted a new iPhone, but her parents didn't agree, so the 10th grader boosted one from her local Best Buy. She didn't make it out the door. Her case landed in the courtroom of Judge Gwendolyn Gallagher, who sentenced the youth to 6 months of hard labor, teaching old people how to use the internet at a local nursing home. Twice a week, Watkins mentors the senior citizens in all things tech. Some of them know about email, but all they know how to do is forward scams. I got a bunch of the old people on Facebook, but then I had to teach them about oversharing on their grandkids' walls. They also seem to compulsively like everything. After a group of elderly women started posting Murder, She Wrote fan fiction, Watkins knew she had succeeded. I'm so proud of what they accomplished, but there are things I don't want to imagine Angela Lansbury doing.
A 10th grader sentenced to teach senior citizens how to use the internet. And your last story of punishment fitting the crime comes from Tom Beaudet.
If you walked up to Austin Whaley of Covington, Kentucky and said, "Hey, you're Austin Whaley of Covington, Kentucky, aren't you?" he would not say bingo. He might like to say bingo, but he is forbidden by law to do it. You see, the bingo players of Covington, Kentucky are not to be fooled with. And when Whaley stuck his head in the door of a bingo parlor and yelled, "Bingo," he crossed into that realm of jackassery apparently not protected by the Constitution. Just like you can't run into a theater and yell fire when it's not on fire, you can't run into a crowded bingo hall and yell bingo when there isn't one, said Police Sergeant Richard Webster, the officer who cited Whaley. Webster said the crowd of mostly elderly women did not take kindly to being alarmed. Hauled before Judge Grothaus of the Kenton District Court, the youth appeared remorseful. He could have faced 90 days in jail and a $250 fine, but instead the judge ordered Whaley, "Do not say the word bingo for 6 months." It was explained to him, you can't yell fire in a theater or people will get hurt. You can't yell out in a ballpark because people could stop the game. You can't yell you lie at the president, or, well, actually you can do that, but as you see, you quickly run out of example of things you can't yell that are as bad as yelling bingo when you don't have a bingo.
All right, so I guess, Kat, I'll address you and your kids, the whole family.
Okay, and, okay.
So was it from Charlie Pierce, a young man sentenced to play in a dress, Molly Pitcher's Revolutionary War heroine, I should say, or maybe hero now, at a Monmouth battlefield in New Jersey, from Amy, a 10th grader sentenced to 6 months of teaching seniors how to use the Internet, or from Tom Baudet, another young man forbidden from saying the word bingo for 6 months because he yelled it at an inopportune time in a bingo parlor? Which of these is the real story of poetic justice?
Well, we have conferred, and we're going with number two.
All right, I want to hear everybody say it. I want to hear it. So okay. Your choice is?
Number two!
All right, so the Cat and her kids pick number two. Well, to find out the correct answer, we actually spoke to the culprit involved in the true story.
I try to say it backwards, like, kids out there, don't say mingo in the mingo hall.
That was Austin Whaley of Covington trying hard to abide by his sentence of not saying bingo for 6 months. You were fooled by the folksiness of Tom Baudet. You say, that can't be true, but it was true. I'm sorry to you and your kids, you didn't win a prize, but you didn't earn a point for Amy.
You got a point for me! Yay! Thanks, guys!
Thank all of you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we look for people with extraordinary skills and refuse to let them use them. Speaking of extraordinary skills, Apollo Robbins may be the world's only professional pickpocket, or at least the only one who admits it. He shows off his skills in Vegas and elsewhere, and as a consultant, helps all kinds of organizations protect themselves from people like him. He's known as the Gentleman Thief. We're glad to have him. Apollo Robbins, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Jack.
So we read about you in the New Yorker a while ago. We were totally fascinated. How did you get your start as, well, a pickpocket?
The short answer is it's a family business, I guess.
Oh, I see.
But the long form, I started as a sleight of hand artist when I was an early teen, and I found that picking pockets was a little bit more lucrative, and got invited to work in a show out in Las Vegas when I was 21. But I'd been exposed as a kid to my half-brothers had been involved with some illegal activity, and it kind of rubbed off.
Right. So, but now you do this, you're legit, you do a show, and basically we've seen you on video and we've read about it, basically you invite people on stage and you rob them blind while they're standing there.
Yeah, it's part of my community service, I guess you'd say.
I understand. And well, the amazing thing is they know that's what you're going to do.
I think that's kind of my forte, is that I tell people beforehand that I'm going to steal from them. And a lot of people think that that makes them safe, and hopefully I wake them up a little bit.
So tell me about a show. Tell me what you'll do. So you invite someone on stage, I assume, or you'll walk up to somebody if you're working a room. And what will you do?
Usually I'll tell someone, for example, like their watch. If they have a watch on, I might say, in 3 minutes, I'd like to be wearing your watch. Do I have your permission? Once they say yes, I play a little game with them as I'm interacting with them, and I steal their watch, and they think that's just about the watch, but very quickly they learn that I might steal their wallets, their belts, their cell phones, their tie, or the hardest thing for me is their eyeglasses.
From their face?
Yes.
How do you steal someone? I was going to ask about the belt, but the eyeglasses are better. How do you steal someone's eyeglasses from their face without them knowing?
for me, that's kind of the Holy Grail, and it's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
One way of doing that is simply asking them a question that's more important than that. For example, I might ask them, now, in your wallet, that was an American Express, correct? And now, as they think, did he have access to my wallet? And their mind starts thinking about that, I might take their glasses.
So the idea is, like, I'd be, like, so obsessed with the possibility that you just took my wallet that I don't notice you just snatched the glasses from my face.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen you on video, and it's amazing how you interact with people and put them at ease and then steal everything they have. And they're delighted when all of a sudden you're wearing their watch or whatever. Have you ever, since you work with strangers and I guess, I don't know, audience members all the time, have you ever gotten somebody mad at you because you took something of theirs?
I have. I've had that happen a few times, especially in the early part of my career. One time I had a guy when I was performing at Caesar Palace, and during the course of the show, I offered him an anniversary gift for him and his wife, and it was her watch wrapped in a little package. And he took it very offensively. He grabbed my throat and was holding on to it very tight. I started.
Were you aware he was doing it, or was he stealing your phone?
You know, it occurs to me, I don't know your business, but while someone's trying to choke the life out of you, it might be a great time to grab his glasses. this is bad. This is not good, but okay, I want to hear how you handle this.
Yeah, so I just did the same type of question that I mentioned to you. I just looked down where I could see his wallet was in his back pocket. I said, well, at least tonight you still have your wallet. And I raised one eyebrow, looked at his pocket, and it made him release both hands and reach back for his wallet to check to see if it was still there.
And then you turned and ran.
I stepped back. Security was there, and I told him, I said, you know, it's their anniversary. If you guys are happy to play along with them, I'd say I think it's fine for them to go through the rest of the night. I said, sir, we just, it's an audience interaction show. We asked that you sit quietly and just enjoy the show.
Wow.
And I just tried to let him still have a good night.
Maybe it wasn't his wife.
Apollo, one of the first interviews that I did when I came to Chicago way back when in 1966 was with Yellow Kid Weill, who was one of the great cons.
Joseph.
Yeah, of all time. And here in Chicago, he was the very first interview I did in my broadcast career. It is.
And this guy was a con man.
Yep.
And he was a legendary.
And he finally granted an interview. I went out there as a young reporter, and we were ready to run it, and it was canceled. And I got this call from Yellow Kid and realized that he had set up a con with his friends or someone else. Hey, I'm going to be on television. Now he thinks I conned the con. I did not go back to Kansas, as he suggested at the time.
Actually, I'll tell you one of the little cons real fast if you want to hear.
Sure, absolutely.
Whenever he'd go into a town, before he'd leave, he'd take off his pinky ring, and most con men back then were famous for having an expensive pinky ring. But he would go into a pawn shop and have the ring appraised, and they'd say that it's worth like $4,000, which was an immense amount of money at that time. He'd ask if he could borrow $100, and then the next day he'd come back, give him the $100, claim his ring back. But if he ever had trouble, he would go back to the pawn shops and says, hey, listen, I'm going to need a little more money. How much could you give me? And let's say they give him $2,500, $3,000, whatever they can give him. When they give him that cash, he gives him the ring. But this time, he has duplicates of the ring that are fake, and they never appraise him the second time. So that way, he was able to collect a bunch of roll right before he skipped town.
That is slick. Yeah. One more question. I know that you're not just a Las Vegas performer. You're also a consultant for the Department of Defense. Is that right, in security issues?
I do. It's not security issues I work for them. It's more training modules, but regarding about human behavior in that area.
We heard that your first exposure to government security was basically robbing a Secret Service detail.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that little thing, he says. So what happened?
So that was back in 2000. I was performing at that show at Caesar Palace, and they said that Jimmy Carter was coming through the show. And they pulled me aside, and they said, the Secret Service doesn't want you to shake Carter's hand. And I said, well, I've never had a felony. It should be fine. They said, well, they're just afraid it would make the news. And then as I started to leave, the manager pulled me aside. He says, listen, off the record, if you want to steal from the Secret Service, I think it would be funny as hell.
Oh, God.
So I went and I hit two guys that were by themselves. At first, they didn't want to be the only guys, so they started taking me around to the other ones to make sure I got everybody else.
Really? So you went up to the Secret Service guys, you picked their pockets, you robbed them. What did you take?
I took the credentials for that they had in their inside jacket pocket, their personal credentials, the keys to the motorcade, and the itinerary where they were taking Carter to, and some watches and things.
Well, Apollo Robbins, we are delighted to talk to you and could do it all day, but we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
try to pick this pocket, hotshot.
Okay, you pick pockets, but can you make off with the contents of a hot pocket? We're going to ask you three questions about the microwavable turnover. If you get two right, you won our prize for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Apollo Robbins playing for?
Ash Kumar of South Riding, Virginia.
All right, you ready to play, Apollo?
Yes.
Here we go. Hot pockets played a role in the saga of Hurricane Sandy last fall when what happened? A hot pocket factory in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn was destroyed, leading to what was called the empty pockets crisis of 2012. B, Newark Mayor Cory Booker fed his entire city with free hot pockets. Or C, the company introduced a new flavor to commemorate the event called New Jersey Wreckage.
I would go with B.
You're going to go with B, Newark Mayor Cory Booker? You're yes. Right. Someone complained to Mayor Booker during the storm, but he couldn't get any hot pockets, and Booker's response to the guy caught the attention of the company, and they gave coupons for free hot pockets to the city of Newark. Very good. Next question. Designer Ben Heck created the ultimate hot pocket accessory. It's which of these? A, the hot pocket hot pocket, an asbestos-lined pocket to tuck the hot, hot pocket into. B, a hot pocket holder on top of his Xbox video game controller so he wouldn't have to pause to take a bite. Or C, the hot pocket rocket, which launches the food directly from the microwave into your mouth.
I hate to be redundant, but I think I'll go with B again.
You are correct, Apollo. It was the hot pocket holder for the video game controller. Last question for you. We'll go for perfect. Snoop Dogg once did a rap for a Hot Pockets television ad. Which of these is a real line from Snoop's rap? Was it A, with my mind on my money on my mind, got a rumble in my tummy, eat a Hot Pocket, and I feel fine? B, don't change the dizzle, turn it up a lizzle, got some cheesy drizzle, dripping on my chisel. Or C, it's the one and only D-O-double-G, you know I'm eating on the H-O-T-P-O-C-K-E-T.
I'm indecisive on this one. I am going to flip a coin and go to B.
It's B. Very good. Snoop loves hot pockets despite the cheesy drizzle dripping from his chisel. Bill, how did Apollo Robbins do in our quiz?
Proving that we've never met a con man who isn't very smart. He's got them all right.
Well done. So listen, if you've been listening to this and you want to see Apollo in action, you're going to have a chance. You can see him in Brain Games, premiering on National Geographic Channel on April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Apollo Robbins, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Thank you, Apollo. Thank
you. Bye-bye. Keep your hand out of my pocket, honey. Baby, when I go to bed. Your hand out of my pocket, woman.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, providing reviews of local contractors, dentists, electricians, and mechanics to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring for the home handyman or building professional. More at lumberliquidators.com. And Lindemood Bell Learning Centers, working to help individuals learn to read and comprehend to their potential. 800-300-1818. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Tom Beaudet, Charlie Pierce, and Amy Dickinson. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill opens up a can of rhyme sauce in the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Amy, thanks to new laws in China, you can now be sued for what?
Is it like a speech thing?
No, it is not a speech thing. It's a behavior thing. They can fine you
spitting.
If you don't. No, they can fine you if you don't do something.
What do Chinese people need to not do?
All right. Well.
Or do.
Now, when your mom says you never call, you never write, it could be actionable.
So if you don't keep in touch with your parents?
Yes. If you can be sued for neglecting your parents now in China.
Oh, I'm moving.
The Chinese government is tired of listening to old people complain about their bunions or about how Justin Timberlake's new album doesn't come close to the funky hotness of Future Sex Love Scent. So they want to encourage children to take a more active role in the care of their parents by threatening to sue them. A new law makes it legal for elderly parents to sue their own children if the children do not call enough or check in on them or bring the grandchildren by or keep whining about how they had to go work at Foxconn when they were 8.
Now there's a government that gets behind family values.
Yeah. You know? Wow, that's crazy.
Will it really build relationships with your children? What are you going to talk about when you're court-ordered to call your mother?
Yeah. You know?
Well, you guys are all parents of adult children. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, they got on them, but I wouldn't sue them.
They got nothing. I mean, yeah. Got sue them for everything you got, and then I'll just have to give it back at Christmas.
Charlie, Canadians can now go to their local health food store and pick up what kind of new breakfast food?
Bacon.
No, they've had that for a while. This is brand new on the shelves. I'll give you a hint. These tricks are not for kids.
What, like beer-flavored cereal?
No.
Whiskey-flavored cereal.
It's a kind of cereal, but it's a cereal that purports to help you with what activity?
Hockey-flavored cereal?
No, I'll give you another hint. It's like snap, crack, and hubba hubba.
What, it's like sex cereal?
It's exactly sex cereal. That is what it is called. Sex cereal.
Sex bacon.
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Why, you can, although, why not?
You can have it on the
why
side.
Why not? Exactly.
Sex cereal and sex bacon is part of your complete sex breakfast.
That's right. It's one of the two major sex food groups.
Okay. Sex cereal comes in two varieties, for men and for women. The inventor says there's food that's supposed to help your digestive system. Why not food to help your more fun parts? The woman's cereal has lots of organic ingredients good for sexual health, like goji berries and chia seeds. The men's cereal is just Viagra capsules covered in brown sugar.
Yeah. Right. Made from real oysters.
But do they have to call
it? And amazingly enough, during the test groups, the men finished their cereal much faster.
Oh, that's true. How embarrassing will it be to go to the checkout with a six-pack of beer, four Hungry Man frozen dinners, and a box of sex cereal? The cashier's like, good luck, pal.
I can't believe this is a Canadian thing. It
well,
just doesn't
you know,
sound Canadian to me.
The name is very Canadian, so boring. And if they're going to... If they're going to break into the American market with this product, they're going to need to jazz it up.
Do we have some more names?
We do.
Wow.
Here are our suggestions for what they should call sex cereal.
Horny bunches of oats.
Or they could call it...
Count Crotchula, down with crotch berries.
Oh, my God.
Or perhaps...
Grope nuts.
And of course, because we do not discriminate,
special gay.
Oh my God.
Bill Curtis, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And check out our How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Ian and Mike help a first grader realize his dream of becoming the world's greatest armpit farter. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tim Clary from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, Portland, Oregon, one of my favorite cities. How are you?
I'm excellent.
And are you one of those people who sort of came to Portland, you know, basically, to use the Portlandia joke, to retire while still in your 20s?
No, I was born and raised here.
I didn't know there were any people like you. Have you been comfortable with sort of the growth of Portland over the last decade or so into its the sort of the mecca that it is for the counterculture and alternative lifestyles?
They're definitely keeping it weird here.
That's important. Well, welcome to the show, Tim. Bill Curtis here is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Here is your first limerick.
Fruit water is hot in pursuit of vitamin water's repute. But don't try to savor a real juicy flavor. Fruit water's all water. No...
fruit?
Yes, fruit. Or rather, no fruit. There's no fruit. If you were to guess the ingredients in Coca-Cola's new health drink, fruit water, you'd probably guess fruit and water. And you'd be half right. It's really carbonated water and Splenda. No fruit in it. Coke hastily explained that Splenda is a kind of fruit. It grows on the Splenda bush right by the sweet and low trees. Very good. Here is your next limerick.
Lake Tahoe's transformed by a cold wish, for new creatures swim by with a bold swish. Folks dumped their small tanks by our lake's verdant banks, and now we're plagued by some oversized...
goldfish.
Yes, goldfish. People have been dumping their goldfish in Lake Tahoe, California, after realizing what boring pets they are. And then apparently these goldfish just balloon in size as they feed on the algae in the lake. We've seen pictures of swimmers in Lake Tahoe holding up goldfish the size of their forearms. One other theory scientists have is that all the people swimming in Lake Tahoe are really tiny. What theme music plays as you are attacked by a monster goldfish?
Doo-doo.
All right, here's your last limerick.
This pack of mint gum I am rueing, 'cause a large meal will soon be ensuing. Give me salty and sweet, for God's sake, let me eat. I am hungry from all of this...
chewing.
Right! Researchers at Ohio State say chewing gum triggers your appetite and gets your digestive juices flowing. In the same way, pot acts as a gateway to heroin, gum acts as a gateway to cake and heroin. The theory goes that the menthol in gum makes fruits and veggies taste bad, you know, like when you drink orange juice after brushing your teeth. So people who chew gum avoid fruits and vegetables, eat more junk food. So if you want to lose weight, do not put gum in your mouth or anything. If you must chew gum, make sure to supplement your diet with healthy things like fruit water. Bill, how did Tim do?
Again, a perfect score.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our panelists now has 60 seconds to answer as many fill in the blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Charlie and Amy have 3, and Tom has 2.
Okay, Tom, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Senator Harry Reid said this week that he is leaving the blank ban out of his gun violence bill.
Assault ban.
Assault weapons, right. Ban. In his latest health initiative, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is pushing to require stores to conceal blank from view.
Those big soda drinks.
No, that was last week. This is cigarettes. An aviation historian said this week that he has evidence that German immigrant Gustav Whitehead successfully flew 2 years before the Blanks did.
The Wright brothers.
Right. After being charged with disorderly conduct in the Racine Public Library, a judge has banned a Wisconsin man from blanking.
The Racine Public Library.
No, he has banned him from all the libraries on the face of the earth.
For 6 months?
No, forever. Rapper Lil Wayne was released from a hospital this week after he OD'd on blank.
Yogurt.
It is called Scissor. I believe it is a codeine cough syrup. In 140 character messages on Thursday, users marked the 7th anniversary of the site blank.
Oh, Twitter.
Right. A traffic wardens who ticketed a parked car in Germany didn't realize that it was actually blank.
A statue of a car.
No, close. It was a full-size snow sculpture of a Volkswagen Beetle. The sculpture was so realistic looking the police didn't know
statue,
they had...
Statue, sculpture.
Wait, you should get that.
Where's the secret, Judge?
Hang on. We have the most authoritative voice in television right here. Bill, does he get points for saying sculpture when it's a snow sculpture?
Yes.
Yes, said Bill.
Thank you, Bill. You're a friend.
Well, what happened, of course, was that the snow sculpture of a beetle looked so realistic that the police came and gave it a ticket, and then they started scraping away the snow to get to the license plate, and they kept scraping until they were, like, in the driver's seat of the thing. It was just all snow.
I had a car like that.
A police spokesman said, quote, "We can take a joke as well as the next person, but whether it was made of metal or snow, it was still obstructing a road that should have been clear." In other words, they can't take a joke. Bill, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Well, Tom got 4 more points, total of 8, and 10, so he has the lead.
Feeling good.
There you go. All right, we flipped a coin. Charlie's elected to go last. Amy, you're up next. Fill in the blank. More than 200,000 people packed St. Peter's Square on Tuesday to see the inauguration of blank.
The Pope.
Yes, Pope Francis. In a legal opinion announced Thursday, the U.S. Government Accountability Office said that the Postal Service must continue to blank on Saturdays.
Deliver mail.
Yes, the U.N. announced Thursday that will investigate accusations that chemical weapons were used in blank.
Syria.
Right. Closed to the public since Hurricane Sandy, the blank of blank is scheduled to reopen by the 4th of July.
The Statue of Liberty.
Yes. Following British soccer star David Beckham's announcement, he was donating his entire salary to a charity. Swedish soccer star Zlatan announced he was donating his entire salary to blank.
Himself.
Yes, indeed. To Zlatan. A 5-year-old girl who found a fossil on a beach is being credited with discovering a new species of blank.
Dinosaur.
Yes, it's so cute. In simultaneous Facebook status updates, Lindsay Vonn and blank announced that they are dating.
Tiger Woods.
Yes. A bus trip from Atlantic City to New York took a horrifying turn when 15 minutes into the trip, blank came out of the air vents.
Wait a minute. Sewage.
No. Thousands of cockroaches.
No! Oh!
Whoa!
One passenger...
It was a Carnival cruise bus.
One passenger described the scene, quote, "There were like 1,000 roaches. People were in the aisles literally brushing roaches off themselves." Greyhound estimates that there were thousands of cockroaches on the bus, which is dozens more than the usual bus ride. Bill, how did Amy do?
Oh, Amy got 7 points for 14 more points, and the total now is 17 with the lead.
There you are. So how many, then, does Charlie need to win this thing?
7 to tie, 8 to win.
And worse, I have to do it in front of legendary broadcaster Bill Curtis.
All right, here we go, Charlie. This is for the game. Okay. On Thursday, the House passed legislation that would keep the government funded through September and avoid a blank.
A government shutdown.
Yes. While in Israel this week, President Obama said that blanks deserve a state of their own.
Palestinians.
Yes. On Thursday, the American Academy of Pediatrics gave its full support to blank, as well as foster care and parenting rights.
Gay marriage.
Yes. During a recent state dinner at the White House, Sir Richard Branson asked President Obama if he blanked.
I don't know, tweeted.
No, he asked President Obama if he had any weed. The president said
that's
no.
That's more than one blank, first of all.
Although tours have been canceled, the White House said they will still host the annual blank on the White House lawn next
weekend.
The
Easter egg roll.
Yes, indeed. On Wednesday, the New York Times reported that NBC is planning to move The Tonight Show to New York and replace Jay Leno with blank.
Jimmy Fallon.
Right. A pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies was probably surprised to hear this week that he had been traded to the Los Angeles Angels for blank.
This is the oldest baseball joke in the world. A bag of baseballs.
No, he was traded for nothing.
The official, worse than
which, which is what the bag of baseballs is a metaphor for.
I understand. But they didn't even get a bag of baseballs. The official term for Mike Sisko's trade was no compensation, as in, hey, we'll give you pitcher Mike Sisko for, hey, you know what? We're good. Just... So the Los Angeles Angels got Sisko for free, but they may have started rethinking the deal when once he arrived, thousands of roaches poured out of his vents. Bill, did Charlie do well enough to win?
Oh, heck no.
He did very well. Pretty well. But he couldn't catch Amy. She's the winner this week.
Well done, Amy. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists that now that we're bringing back extinct animals, what else will we bring back from the past? But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and RDIO, a digital music service allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere. RDIO.com. Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. And the National Association of Realtors and Advocate for Homeownership. More at HouseLogic.com/homeownership. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our intern is 1.6 kilometers Dernboss. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Mohammed Mal. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced each week by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White and Gary Yek. Our production coordinator is Showbiz Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what else will we bring back from extinction? Charlie Pierce.
White supremacy, states' rights, laissez-faire economics, and deregulation of the environment. No, I'm sorry, that's the 2012 Republican platform.
Amy Dickinson.
The first ever Kardashian. His name is Clint, and he wants his own show.
And Tom Baudet.
Come back, we hardly knew ye, Lululemon see-through yoga pants.
And if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Amy Dickinson, Tom Baudet. Thanks all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. I'll be away next week. Tom Baudet takes the host podium. Thank you all. Is NPR.
Support for WPLN comes from the Andrews Institute for Civic Leadership at Lipscomb University, offering a weekend master's degree for professionals who want to build individual leadership skills while building their communities. Civicleadership.lipscomb.edu.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.